Welcome, and thank you for listening to Grace Heritage Church Audio, Building a Household of Faith on a Foundation of Grace. Visit us online at graceheritage.org. Please stay tuned after the message for more information.
Okay, well, let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the way that it directs us. Thank you, God, for pursuing us. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for rescuing us from our sin. Thank you for releasing us from the bondage to sin. Thank you for the hope that is ours of eternity because of Christ. And now, because we have this hope within us, we want to be able to speak to others around us about these things. And we confess, oh God, that sometimes there is nothing more fearful than trying to have a conversation with someone about the gospel. Perhaps we even think that that's not our responsibility. We don't want to fall into that trap. I believe that the Scripture has commanded us, called us to carry the gospel where we go, in the neighborhoods where we live, in our homes, to our children, in the places where we go to school and work and so forth. And God, I confess that as pastors, we have not been great at helping the body do that. Lord, my heart is grieved, because it's been some time, too long, since we've seen anyone come to Christ. And while we know that you alone bring spiritual life to dead hearts, and that you will do that on your time and your according to your plans and purposes, we also understand our great privilege of holding forth the gospel. No one with such good news hides it. And so we want to be able to talk with others about Christ. So help us to do that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to, for the next several weeks, talk together about two ways to live. That's a course, if you will. It's a way of thinking about talking with others about the gospel. And that may be something that you readily do, happily, freely, effectively, joyfully already, and we want to encourage you in that. Keep on. But we also want to encourage one another in that process of speaking to others about the gospel of Christ and for the hope that we have within us. And so we want to think about two basic designs. And the first of those is for us as God's people to have a better understanding of the gospel. We want to know it better, understand it better, and some aspects of the gospel that we can embrace and be encouraged by. And then we want to have some confidence. We want to gain confidence in explaining the gospel to others and being able to talk with other people effectively and comfortably about what the gospel is all about. And in order to do that, we're going to be memorizing some things together. I have some pictures. And you may remember, it may have been almost a year ago that I took one day and said, what is the gospel? And we talked about some of these things, and I drew some pictures for you and talked about those, and several people said, hey, can you email me those pictures? Well, today I'm going to give you your very own pictures to take home with you, okay, so that you can look at those things. And it was Amanda, in fact. You had that look on your face, and that you're the one who asked me for it. So I sent those things to Amanda. Now everybody else gets them. You get to catch up with Amanda, okay? So we're going to memorize some things together, some drawings, some scripture that will help us to have some hooks to think about the gospel and how the story of the Bible logically fits together. Now, 20 plus years ago, when some of us were just little people, the deal was to memorize a thing like EE or CWT and something else with other kinds of initials. And then you would go to somebody's house and try to go through that rote memory presentation. And if you're having some pictures of that in your mind already, and you think we want you to go out like robots and start peppering people with an outline, that's not the case. We want to give you an outline of gospel truth that gives a picture of God's plan of redemption from beginning to end, so that you can begin to talk with folks about those things, and you can hang truth and content on the outline, if you will, or six pegs, kind of like hanging things on those six pegs, so that you can make it your own, in the sense that you use your own words, you think about some of your own experiences with Christ, and yet it revolves around these things, these six pegs, okay? So when you have the content of that down, then you can sort of flesh it out yourselves. And I want to encourage you, some of you, some of our children here may not be followers of Christ yet. You may not be believers. You may not have been converted. You may not have trusted Christ. You may not have repented yet, however you want to say that. So we want you to be thinking about the gospel. And I want to encourage you to invite friends to come and hear this. Maybe there you have friends who are saying, I'd like to understand Christianity better. I think this would be a way for them to be able to understand some of those things better, to be able to get some of the main pictures of what the gospel is about, and to think about that in their own lives. Okay? So, first question I have for you is this. How well do you know the gospel? How well do you know the gospel? And if you have a relationship with someone and they start to ask you questions about the gospel, are you ready to respond? Can you talk with them in ways that are clear and clarifying so that they can understand? Or do you have some problems and difficulties doing that? If someone asks you questions about Christianity, explain Christianity to me. Where would you start? What would be some of the first things that you would talk about? And how would you try to communicate that? Can you bring the important, essential truths of the message of Christianity to the front and make sure that those things are expressed clearly so that they can understand them and wrestle with them? Let me show you a video now of a conversation that may not be the way to do that. And we're going to think about this and say, what may have been some mistakes here? How could you have done this better? And so forth. So let me see if I can make this work. Benjamin, we'll see if we can get enough sound to make this happen. And I'm also going to see, I don't think I can back this up, so we're going to go with what we've got, okay?
Saturday afternoon, we had a thing at Allison's folks. And
he asked him what
just
he
stayed at home Saturday night. Church on Sunday was pretty good, though.
Church? I didn't know you went to church.
Yeah, almost every Sunday.
Why would a sensible bloke like yourself go to church? I mean, does a wife make you?
No. I go because it's my choice. I go because I'm a Christian. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, wouldn't have the foggiest. Enlighten me, comrade.
Okay, well, being a Christian is all about following Christ.
Following where?
Sorry?
Where? Following where?
To heaven, I guess, which is where God is.
Right, so if you're a good little boy, you go to heaven.
No. Well, yes. No. It's not about what you do. It's more about what God has done. It's about having a relationship with Jesus where he's your friend and not some big ogre. It's not about rules and stuff, though. It's more about knowing that forgiveness. But not that you don't try and do the right thing, but that's when you get the Holy Spirit. But that comes after you're a Christian.
Sorry, mate, you've lost me. Holy what?
Spirit, Holy Spirit. It's God's presence enabling you to do the right thing. But that's not really the essence of it either. Look, Jesus died for our sins. That's got to be the biggest thing about being a Christian.
Right, so how can you follow someone when he's dead?
Well, he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. The resurrection? You heard of it? That's also a big part of being a Christian is believing that Jesus rose from the dead and that he's coming again, so you've got to be ready. And so you try and keep doing what's good and trying to obey him, and you walk in the truth, and it makes a huge difference to your life. Like, it's made a big difference to my life, and you want to be more like Jesus, and after a while you change to be like him, and God's in there and they're working, and you want to... You find you want to pray more and read more, but I'm not very good at that.
Very good at what?
At explaining any of this.
Okay. So, if you'll turn the lights back on for me. So, what went wrong here? He wasn't clear. Oh, what went well? Somebody said, what went right? Yeah, I meant to warn you that they're not Southern Australian. He was trying. Yeah, he was trying. What else? What other things do you think didn't go well there?
You have to be cautious about using
Yeah. So the language that's used. Another one, the things that I was talking about a few minutes ago, 20 years ago, we could go to somebody's door and talk about sin and heaven and hell and following Christ and the resurrection, and people had a category for that. They were aware of those kinds of things. Now, we're living in a biblically illiterate society, essentially, even in the South. You know, we've gotten to that now, so people don't have categories for that kind of language. Anything else? Do you see other things that you would suggest that we need to do differently?
He obviously hadn't even thought about it himself enough to know what he would say.
Okay. Yeah, so he wasn't thinking purposefully about, I'd like to have a conversation with my friend at work about Christianity and what that means. And so it completely kind of caught him off guard. Yeah, I went to church. And he never even thought that that might generate a conversation about why you go to church and how to respond.
He didn't bring any scripture or
the
Bible into it at all.
Okay. No scripture really. I mean, he may have alluded to some, talked about Bible concepts, but didn't bring much any scripture in. Anything else?
He talked about too many topics
and
too short
a time. Yeah. Yeah, about the Holy Spirit, about sanctification, about going to heaven. He went all over the place. What are some things, as you think about that, what are some things about the gospel you think that would be of paramount importance that ought to be included? Okay, the issue of sin. What do you need to have? I'm sorry?
Repentance.
Okay, so we've got to have, there's something about a relationship with God. That's why sin matters. We can't fix it. Okay. Not about works and grace.
A creator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Creator-creation relationship, creator-creature. What are some things that you would avoid bringing into this conversation as you're trying to talk to somebody about the gospel? What are some things that you would avoid and just say, we're going to wait on that?
Maybe
explain trying to explain the Trinity, the Godhead. Yeah, any of this. Yeah. You know, it's not, you don't need to be self-deprecating even to be able to explain the gospel. Anything else you'd avoid? Makes life better.
Better new brand name.
Yeah. One of the things I want us to try to wrestle with is this reality that the gospel is simple, but this is not simplistic. And this, we need to be careful and purposeful. And that's what we want to try to do, is equip you over the next few weeks to be able to do this. And today we're just going to look at the overall presentation and these six hooks to sort of hang things on and give you some things to start memorizing for next week, scripture verses and so forth. And then we're going to start looking at those. And it's over the next few weeks, looking at each of these hooks, almost like a catechism. Pam mentioned the Creator, and that's the place that you're going to see where this starts, is that God's created the world and everything that's in it. And we want to think together about why that's a big deal and what's important about submitting to God as the Creator. And we read in Romans earlier this morning about some of that. So I'm going to show you another just little short section. If you can get your stuff and go back to your station. man, I'll tell you, when you're the preacher's kid, you got to be always running sound or playing a drum or emptying trash or something. So that's the blessing. Isn't it? It's a blessing because some of y'all get to take your kids to work at the university. I get to take my kids to work here. So that's a good thing. All right, I want to show you this this overview. It's real brief and quick. Don't worry about trying to take any notes or jotting any of this down because I'm going to give it to you on a sheet of paper in just a little bit. Open sesame.
Two ways to live can be used in a variety of ways and in a variety of forms, but it's important to know the basic underlying outline. Here it is, including the diagrams that go along with it.
The text of Two Ways to Live. God is the loving ruler of the world. He made the world. He made us rulers of the world under him. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Revelation 4:11. But is that the way it is now? We all reject the ruler, God, by trying to run life our own way without him. But we fail to rule ourselves or society or the world. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. Romans 3, 10-12. What will God do about this rebellion? God won't let us rebel forever. God's punishment for rebellion is death and judgment. Man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. Hebrews 9:27. God's justice sounds hard, but because of his love, God sent his Son into the world, the man Jesus Christ. Jesus always lived under God's rule. Yet by dying in our place, he took our punishment and brought forgiveness. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. 1 Peter 3:18. But that's not all. God raised Jesus to life again as the ruler of the world. Jesus has conquered death, now gives new life, and will return to judge. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 1:3. Well, where does that leave us? The two ways to live. Our way. Reject the ruler, God. Try to run life our own way. Result? Condemned by God. Facing death and judgment. God's new way. Submit to Jesus as our ruler. Rely on Jesus' death and resurrection. Result? Forgiven by God. Given eternal life. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. John 3:36. Which of these represents the way you want to live?
Okay, so there's a picture. I'm going to show you that conversation, a better conversation, just before we leave this morning. And I want to, again, just reaffirm, I'm not going to be showing you videos every week and making you sit and watch things like this. And the goal is not to be able to sit down and draw that picture mechanically with someone. In fact, you might want to use those. Sometimes I've used pictures like that in talking with people to say, do you mind if I doodle on this napkin? Because it helps me to remember where I'm going and kind of keep track of the story so that I don't waste your time. Is that okay with you? And everybody loves my drawing. So it's an easy way for me to draw some pictures and help me remember what I'm doing so that I can start at creation and talk about the fall and redemption and the things that God has provided for us in Christ. And so you can see that there's some really simple, basic hooks that you can learn that will help you to direct your conversation. And like there was, it provides for you an opportunity that if someone is talking about something that makes you think about how, yeah, men are supposed to be ruling the world and taking care of it, but they don't do it very well, do they? They pollute the Gulf with oil. This world we live in is a mess, isn't it? And that provides you an open opportunity to talk to someone about, yeah, the reason why things are a mess is because of man's rebellion against God. And so to be able to start to think about these things and to have a direction to go gives us confidence to direct conversations toward the gospel when we have them. It's the fear of not knowing what to say and not knowing where to go and not knowing, having any track to run on sometimes that leaves us petrified when some openings for those kinds of gospel conversations come up. So that's what we want to do over these weeks, like I said, is to try to help you think about how to have those conversations. Show you this better conversation and then give you some of these materials and tell you about a couple of other things that we have before we finish up this morning, okay? But let me show you this final better conversation before we...
Armed with a clearer knowledge of what the gospel is, a conversation does not have to be as confusing as the one we saw earlier. Let's look at another version.
So, how was your weekend?
I don't know, it was fairly ordinary. Saturday afternoon we had a thing at Allison's folks. Saturday night we stayed at home, and Sunday at church was pretty good though.
Church? I didn't know you went to church, mate.
Almost every Sunday.
Really? Why would an otherwise intelligent bloke like yourself go to church, mate? The wife maker? Yeah?
No, it's my choice. I go because I'm a Christian. Do you know what I mean?
No. Haven't got the foggiest, actually. Enlighten me, comrade.
Okay, well, I can explain what a Christian is, and it'll only take me a couple of minutes. I just need to go back a couple of steps just so you know where I'm coming from.
Sure, no problem.
Is that okay?
Yep.
Well, it all starts with God and the creation of the world. He made everything we see. And he made us. And because he made everything, he's in charge of everything. Oh. It's like you being in charge of your backyard shed.
Lord and master, mate.
Yeah, well, he's Lord and master of his shed, which is the world, because he owns it. Mm. Okay. He made it, and he owns it.
Right.
And we're part of that too. Because as humans, he made us and put us to be in charge of the world, to look after it and to live in it under his authority.
Mm.
Yeah. So he's in control and we're second in control.
Right.
But that's not really a picture of the world. If you look at the world, you wouldn't really see that control. Because basically the history of the world is that humanity has told God to shove off. We don't want God to be God. We want to be ruling ourselves, running things our own way, independent of God.
Yeah.
Yep. So we've rejected God. We want to decide what happens to us. I rule over me and no one else. Okay? But the only thing is that that doesn't work because I can't control myself and I can't control you and I can't control anyone else at all. So that's why the world is in a mess.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. At that point, God says, right, that's enough. I gave you the opportunity to live life as I created it, but you've rejected that and done your own thing. And so as a result, we all deserved to be punished and we die. And after we die, we all face God as judge, which doesn't sound great, but God didn't leave us here. It doesn't finish there.
Right.
He provided a way or a solution where we can have a relationship with God again. And he sent his son. What's really different about Jesus was that he never rebelled against God. He was the one person who lived with God as his ruler. the one person who didn't deserve to die, the one person who didn't deserve to be punished. But Jesus willingly died on a cross and took the punishment that you and I should have had. He died in our place. And he was the one that suffered instead of us having to suffer. And to cap it off, God raised Jesus from the dead, which means that he's the most important person in the universe. And he's put him in charge of everything. So he's God's only son. He's his right-hand man, and he's the only person you can go to get back into a proper relationship with God. The Bible says things like, whoever believes in Jesus has life, and whoever rejects Jesus doesn't have life because God is still angry with him. So you can see from the Bible's point of view that there are clearly two ways that you can live. You can keep on doing your own thing and face the consequences, which are not good, mm-hmm. or you can turn back to God and come back into a relationship with God because of his son Jesus.
Right.
So basically, in a nutshell, that's what a Christian is, which puts the onus back onto you of the two ways to live. Which way do you want to live?
Well, I don't know. You see, this is all fairly new to me.
Yeah.
Which way am I living now? I'm probably living my way, mm-hmm. definitely my way. But if what you say is true, well, then that's got to have some fairly big problems
yeah.
with it.
Yep.
So, oh, hang on a minute. Yeah, mate. Sorry, one second. Yeah. G'day, how are you?
Now, obviously, I'm not trying to sell that conversation or every specific word in that conversation, but there are a couple of things that I think we need to wrestle with. Number one is, there have been some evangelists in the past that I've disagreed with what they do and how they say, but one evangelist once said, I prefer that way of sharing the gospel as opposed to the way you're not sharing it at all. Now, again, I'm not trying to say that flippantly and say going out and spreading false hope or false gospel is better than nothing. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying, I'm asking you to wrestle in your own heart. Am I having conversations with other people about the gospel of Christ, the good news of Christ? And number two, do we really believe that God is sovereign in salvation, that it is the message of Christ going out into people's ears that God uses to bring them to life? Do we really believe that? And if we do, then we ought to be throwing it out like seed. You know, if I believe grass seed is what makes grass grow, then I ought to broadcast that stuff in my yard. And if I believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God into salvation to all who believe, then I ought to be sharing it. Talking about it. And so, and far from saying, so you be guilty and go out there, and if you don't share the gospel with 10 people this week, you're a bad Christian. Far from that, well, all we want to do is to take away the fears and take away the anxieties of not knowing what to say and provide some hooks for you to hang those things on and to be able to communicate truth with others, okay? Now, I have some very nifty participant manuals. There's no Australian accent in this book. There is a CD in here that has some of these presentations, so you can see it explained and stuff like that. And there are some pages in here with that you can fill out and little drawings and cards, memory cards with the scriptures on them in the back. And it's very cool. And this is $10. If you'd like to have one of these, I have 10 of them that I ordered in advance, and I can get more in a week if you'd like to have one. So if they're snatched up today, we can get more if you want more. So I'm going to have these up front. You can come get them if you have $10. All right? So that's an available resource to you. Also, I want to pass out to you, oh my, these sheets so that you can have a drawing to take home with you. And what I'd like to encourage you to do this week is to start drawing this drawing out on a blank piece of paper and to start memorizing Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. And we'll come back together next week and go over Revelation 4:11 and the concept of God as creator and the implications of that. And not only will we get some things for the gospel, but we'll also just be able to wrestle with some great truths for our own hearts and to think about the implications of God as my creator, my owner, my master. And so if you'd like to have one of these, feel free to take those with you and as those are being passed around, and you can use that. I want to encourage you not to, check out. There may be something in your heart that's going, you know what, I got this, I know how to do it, I'm regular with it, this is not going to be very helpful to me. Well, just your presence here to help us will be encouraging, okay? So I want to encourage you not to, check out, but to pray for one another as we try to think about doing this. And that brings me to the last thing that I'd like to encourage you to do. I would like to encourage you to put down the names of two people that you know who are not believers for whom you can begin to pray. If you're probably, many of you are already doing that. But if you don't have the names of some specific people that you come across regularly who are unbelievers, I'd like to encourage you to put their names down and begin to pray for them, that God would be pleased to use conversations that you might have and other gospel witnesses that God will bring across their path to, bring them to life in Christ. That leads me to say that those guys were people who worked together. You know, they were at work on a Monday, and the guy was saying, so how was your weekend? And I think that, most of the time these conversations are going to happen in the context of relationship. I don't think that they cannot happen in a conversation bumping into somebody on the street or in the grocery store, things like that. But most of the time it's going to happen in, relationship, because you'll need more opportunities to just to talk about and flesh out some of these things, concepts of the gospel and what it means to, respond to Christ in repentance and faith. So,
still be there after the cell phone conversation.
Yeah, the guy will pick up his cell phone and put it down, and then you'll be able to talk again another time. Okay.
Thank you for listening. Grace Heritage Church meets in Auburn, Alabama. Services are held at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning at 1345 Analu Drive,